This is a 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station special presentation. Holiday Heroes with Burns and Gambo.
Benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona.
Presented by Copper Springs Health and your Arizona Ford dealers. Live from the Grand Canyon University Golf Course in Phoenix, this is Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's one of our favorite events of the year. Gambo and I get together, we kick Dan and Vince off the air, and we go for 8 hours. 10 until
good.
6.
Here we give you a four hour break from dueling Gambos.
Jackie Bradley Jr., Ender Inciate,
Ketel
Marte. Talking about Diamondback potential center fielders. We are here at the GCU Golf Course, and we're going to be here until 6 o'clock. You're always welcome to stop by and make a donation in person if you want. But the best way for you to get involved with the 100 Club of Arizona is to text 100 Club, 100 Club, to 620-620. Now, I want to make sure this clear, and maybe I didn't make it clear enough earlier, Gambo. If you make the minimum donation of $25, you're entered to win one of the jerseys, all right? If you make a minimum $100 donation, you're entered to win the ultimate Arizona sports fan package. But by donating $100, you're also entered to win a jersey, right?
Yes.
So you donate $100, and you're in on the ultimate Arizona sports package and the jerseys. The $25, just the jerseys.
Every jersey up there, you have a chance to win if you donate $25. $25.
But the $100, the jerseys, and
the
ultimate Arizona, or the woman.
Or the woman, yeah, the woman. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
You get a pair, the ultimate sports package, Arizona sports fan package, consists of
everything.
Pair of Suns courtside seats. Awesome. 4 glass seats at an upcoming Coyotes game. Awesome. Pair of tickets to watch D-backs batting practice and tickets. Awesome. Pair of tickets and pregame field passes to the Cardinals-Rams game on the field before the game starts. One pair, awesome. One pair of tickets to sit with Jerry Colangelo at the GCU New Mexico State game on February 9th. To sit with Jerry. To hang out with Jerry during the game.
Jerry Colangelo.
Hang out with Jerry. Hey,
yeah.
Jerry, what about this? What about that? Pick his brain during the game. And the Arizona sports-themed fat scooter. That whole package for just $100.
How about
could
that?
Could be yours. That's your ticket to enter into that contest for the ultimate Arizona sports fan package. $100 donation. You text 100 Club to 620-620, and you're entered. You win.
Think about that. I mean, sitting where you've never sat before, glass seats, courtside seats, you're sitting with Jerry Colangelo. You're hanging with JC right there with the game. I mean, pick his brain over everything. You can talk about old Suns, new Suns, Dan Marley. I mean, what an unbelievable accomplishment. I mean, what a great package. $100, you're in it to win it. Somebody's going to win. We'll know at the end of the day. But again, like Burnsy said, if you make a $100 donation, you also win on everything else too. You also win on the jerseys. So make a $100 donation. Or if you make a $500 donation, well, then you have 5 chances to win. 5 chances to win this package if you make a $500 donation. But we are looking for donations, so text 100 Club to 620-620, and let's get you involved.
We've got, the way we see it right now, 3 big stories going on in sports, and we'll talk about all of them and whatever else comes up. Story number 1, it would appear that today's city council vote in Phoenix for the renovations to the Suns Arena has been delayed until January. We talked about that a moment ago. Number 2, Trevor Ariza didn't play last night against the Spurs. For some, that's sort of an indicator that perhaps he's about to get traded. Gambo says not necessarily, though it sure does seem like that could be a giant red flag. They're just saying it was because of the second night of a back-to-back and they wanted to rest him after he played so many minutes against the Clippers the night before. Story number 3 is what the Diamondbacks are going to do in center field, and we were dueling Gambos a moment ago. Jackie Bradley Jr.'s name came up late yesterday during our show. I think Nick Cafardo from the Boston Globe and Nesson was the one who first reported it. But I just saw a tweet from you about 4 or 5 minutes ago that said Jackie Bradley Jr. Is probably not going to happen.
You know, a lot of the times what we like to do is, because there are so many rumors and a lot of them are not true, is chase him. Sometimes I can get an answer immediately within a minute, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes it takes me a little while. But I did ask this morning on Jackie Bradley Jr. whether there's any legs to this trade, and I was told flat out that there is not. There is not. This is not something that they are, you know, actively pursuing. Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm sure they're having discussions with all these teams right now with the winter meetings, and I think Boston wants to get out of some money, get out from under some money to not pay the tax, and obviously they know that the Diamondbacks need a center fielder, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is a dynamic outfielder defensively, can't hit worth a lick, bats like 230, but I do not believe that he is an option for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Checking on this morning and asking whether there were any legs to a Jackie Bradley Jr. trade, I was told no, that there are no legs to this, that there is nothing there. So, again, there are a lot of rumors that come up. You can't believe them all. But what we try to do is we try to see which ones we can discredit, which ones we can say, okay, that's definitely not true.
The story broke yesterday, and yesterday at the end of our show we were kind of talking about it, and what you and I sort of both decided at the time is that we couldn't really figure out what the Diamondbacks would have that the Red Sox would want that would make them a good fit trade-wise. I mean, what would the Red Sox want? To clear money, so they don't want to take an expensive salary back, so they wouldn't be looking for Greinke. They wouldn't be looking for another starter. They are looking for bullpen help. The Diamondbacks, I don't think, really have an arm down there to be able to spare bullpen-wise.
No.
In some sort of trade.
Nope.
They are looking for a second baseman, so I suppose you could have included Ketel Marte in that deal, but Marte is really the linchpin for a lot of plans for the Diamondbacks this offseason. I don't see them including him in any kind of a deal.
There's no way.
So there's just not a real good fit for what the Red Sox would hypothetically be looking for to move off of a guy
Jackie Bradley Jr. We talked about the fact that he's got 2 years of control, you know, and he hits right-handed pitching very well, and he is such a plus-plus defender that with 2 years of control, like, you're not going to give him away for nothing. He doesn't make a lot of money. He makes like $8 million. So I don't see the reasoning as to why they would want to. They're not going to give him away. You would expect he's 28 years old. It's like he's 34. He's 28. You got to get something for him if you're the Red Sox. And that's why I just don't think that they make much sense. It makes much sense for them to get him.
All right. I'm going to switch gears on you here. This is from Lori Roberts. She is the columnist at the Arizona Republic. On Tuesday afternoon, not even 24 hours before the city council vote on the Suns Arena renovation deal, I'm told the votes weren't there and that city officials and Suns owner Robert Sarver were scrambling. There is a strong possibility the arena deal will be pulled from today's city council agenda. Sources tell me the city manager is hoping the city council will agree to postpone the vote rather than potentially suffering a lopsided defeat that could kill future prospects for a deal. I'm reading directly, Gambo, from AZ Central now when I read this to you. Meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials that he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas.
What the hell?
Yep. That is what I'm reading in Lori Roberts from the Arizona Republic, published, let's see, it was initially published this morning at 8:11, and it was updated at 10:30 this morning, 10:45 this morning, so roughly about 25 minutes ago. A link that I saw on her Twitter account that was I had my attention called to. Meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas.
My God,
source told me.
This is not going to help him at all. It's not going to help him at all.
That's the quote-unquote, so I want to make sure I'm citing exactly where this has come from.
He might take the team to Seattle or Vegas.
Quote, meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials that he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas. One source told me, close quote.
Oh my
she
God.
Goes on to write, any four council members can kill the arena deal, and there are already three no votes. So one more, and the deal's going to die. Jim Waring, Sal DeCiccio, and Councilwoman Vania Guerva are no votes right now. And there's a delay, and they're worried that they don't have the votes, or is it going to get pulled completely? And then that very damning line, quote, meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas.
I mean, listen, it could be it could be a threat.
Sure.
I mean, it could be just a threat, like, hey, if we can't get this done. I mean, it's, you know, they and listen, I understand,
you know, and I got a buddy of mine who's in the fire department, and he's just telling me just how hard things are right now. And he's, you know, he basically said, you know, they don't even have enough reserve trucks. When a truck goes downtown for repair to put our guys in, they need an additional six stations to serve the citizens of Phoenix. They don't have the money to do so. I mean, so there's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of concern over where taxpayer money is going. You know, there's a lot of concern over that, and a lot of people don't want to see it go to a sports team. I do believe that that out of all the teams, I mean, the Suns are probably in the best position and deserve an arena or renovations more than anybody else because they've been here since 92.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I truly do. I mean, they've put their time in. You know, they have. They didn't ask for a new arena 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and they're not even asking for a new arena right now. They're asking for renovations to arena. Not saying we got to need a new arena, but if he can't get this, like if Sarver can't even get that, hey, we're giving you nothing. You get nothing. Yeah, you've got to think that Seattle and Vegas, you know, he's got to go look at what's best for him. I mean, they've got the worst NBA arena. They've got the worst practice facility. They want to upgrade it. It's understandable that they want to upgrade it. It's also understandable they're going to have to put up a lot of the money.
Yeah.
But one vote away from a no vote is not good for the Suns.
We will not stray too far from this story throughout the course of the day. I know you'll do what you do and try to get to the bottom of this. Again, it's what's being reported on AZ Central's website, and we'll continue to talk about that throughout the course of this day. We're also here to talk about the 100 Club of Arizona and raise funds for the 100 Club of Arizona, and that's what we will continue to do here on our Holiday Heroes broadcast. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Live from the GCU Golf Course, Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show. Early today, normally we hit the airwaves straight up 2 o'clock. Today it was straight up 10 o'clock for the 100 Club of Arizona, our annual Holiday Heroes broadcast, in which we basically today just want to take a moment and say thank you. Thank you to all of our first responders. Thank you to our police officers and our firefighters and our DPS officers and our Border Patrol agents and our parole officers and our corrections officers, the people who run in when everybody is running out, right? And we don't get to say thank you to them as much as we probably should. And that's what today is all about, saying thanks and raising money for the 100 Club, who provides financial assistance to those families when things go wrong on those days when people run in and everybody else is running out. Gambo, we've got two presenting sponsors today, and one of our presenting sponsors, like our previous one, is back for more. And we always appreciate that because, obviously, they liked what they did a year ago, and they are back. And I'm talking about Copper Springs Health. Melissa Berry, Director of Business Development for Copper Springs Health, our co-presenting sponsor, with a check presentation. We'll get into that. I read that wrong. No. You've done something even better than that. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. My apologies for that. Melissa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you again for your partnership this year. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We're very excited to be here.
And you look very festive today.
I am very festive.
I love the Santa hat right there.
That's right.
All right, tell us why you became involved with the 100 Club.
So last year, I've been listening to Arizona sports for, I don't know, since I was high school at least. And I've been hearing about the 100 Club, and I kept thinking, how can we get involved on a corporate level with Copper Springs? And because our services complement PTSD, we treat suicidal ideation and people combating addiction. And so a lot of the first responders that we were seeing in our hospital were dealing with that, mm-hmm. or the grief of losing family. And so at the time, we did not have a program that was specific for first responders, veterans, and active duty. And this year, we have 5 states within our parent company that is now Help for Heroes is our program, and that treats everything from substance abuse to mental health.
So you see a lot of depression when a family goes through a loss, when a husband loses his life or a wife loses her life in a line of duty. Are you seeing a lot of that, a lot more of that now?
We are, especially because the stigma is getting a little less and less. We've had so many suicides in the last year, and we're trying to combat that.
How?
We bring them in. They come in for an assessment. At that point, we assess whether they need an inpatient stay or maybe an outpatient stay. we have different programs designed specifically for each patient that comes through.
Yeah, and you're joined by your Director of Clinical Services, Alexis Barron, who is here. And that's what I was referring to. I mean, going above and beyond implementing a brand new program that basically directly addresses a lot of the problems that can stem from some of the incidents that we deal with, that our first responders deal with. That's a tremendous addition to your services at Copper Springs Health, and really kind of speaks directly to why we're here for the 100 Club.
Yep, that's why we're here. We have actually done specialized training for the staff to know how to specifically work with first responders and those that have been in this type of work, because it is specific trauma and specific. They have specific things that they need to work on, and so our therapists and our staff on nursing and psychiatrists are specifically trained to work with people that have done this work and seen what they do on a daily basis. So that's why we're here, and then we also help with family members that have lost first responders and what that looks like and how it's very different when you're working in this type of field.
Yeah, it's not just death, it's the injuries too. I mean, a firefighter goes in and you have a lot of these fire, you get burns, you get things like that, and then you know, you can go through depression, you can go through a hard time, or why me, and things like that. So I would imagine, you know, the 100 Club is a fantastic organization, but they need help too. So it's great that Copper Springs is reaching out and helping a lot of the first responders.
Well, sometimes they're even dealing with, like you said, the first responder might get injured. Next thing you know, they've injured their back, and then now that might have been 2 years ago, and now we have an opiate addiction. And so we're trying to help those folks get off of that.
Yeah. What else do you guys do at Copper Springs Health? I mean, I know you're varied interests, a lot going on. Let's talk about what you guys do in addition to what you've done for the first responders.
Well, we have different programs for outpatient. For instance, if somebody doesn't meet criteria to come inpatient stay could be a 7-day, it could be up to 30 days for the first responder program. But on an outpatient basis, some people are just struggling, that they may not have any suicide attempts, but maybe they're going through a grievance or depression or the substance abuse, but they're no longer needing that inpatient detox. Now we can push them onto our outpatient services, and now they can still attend a 3 to 5 hour program 3 to 5 times a week. They can still go home, hug their children, hug their wife, hug their husband, and be able to work through that process.
We have a lot of first responders that listen to the show, and especially today, a lot of them are, you know, across the valley and throughout the state are listening. Tell me how, if anyone listening are dealing with some of these issues, how they can get involved with Help for Heroes.
Sure. Our first responders can go on to helpforheroes.com. We actually have 5 different states that you'll see on there. You can choose the Arizona site, which is Copper Springs. And from there, you can write just our website. It just fills out a form, and then it comes right directly actually to myself and also to our CEO and also with Alexis. So we will be responding to that. And we also can go on to coppersprings.com. That also will give you a wide variety of what we treat, who we treat, what things do you need to pack to bring to the hospital, just what to expect while you're there. You also can fill out a form or you can give us a call.
Yeah. Melissa, we appreciate you stopping by. We can't thank you enough for your continued partnership with what we're doing here at the 100 Club of Arizona and for being a partner with us again at Copper Springs Health. It's good seeing you again. Thank you for being so festive. You've brightened up. We're all wearing gray and navy blue.
It's holiday heroes, guys.
You're coming in with a Santa hat and the Christmas red dress. It's like, well, it's the holidays. Look at that. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate it, and it's wonderful partnering up with you again. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
And Alexis, thank you for coming by as well. Of course, we appreciate both of you. Melissa Berry, Director of Business Development for Copper Springs Health, our co-presenting sponsor, the Director of Clinical Services, Alexis Barron, joining us here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station for the 100 Club of Arizona. You, too, can get involved by texting 100 Club to 620-620. That's 100-CLUB to 620-620. Donate $25. You could win a jersey. In fact, Gamba, we've got another winner. Patty Serrano of Chandler won the Jake Lamb jersey. The next one that we'll give away in the next half hour would appear to be Oliver Ekman-Larson, I believe, if I'm looking at the wall correctly. You can get in on that by donating $25. Text 100 Club to 620-620. You donate $25 and you're entered to win the jerseys. You donate $100 and you're entered to win the ultimate Arizona sports fan package and potentially the jerseys as well. Text 100 Club to 620-620 for more. We're back with more here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station and the Burns and Gambo Show.
Holiday Heroes with Burns and Gambo.
Benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona.
Presented by Copper Springs Health and your Arizona Ford dealers. Live from the Grand Canyon University Golf Course in Phoenix, this is Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Holiday Heroes here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Again, our top story of the day, and we will never stray too far from this here on the Burns and Gambo Show and our Holiday Heroes, even though we're raising awareness and saying thank you and money for the 100 Club of Arizona. There is a story on AZ Central's website from Lori Roberts, one of their columnists, who has a source telling her that Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, is telling city officials he may take the Phoenix Suns to Seattle or Las Vegas because he might not have the votes necessary to get the renovations that he wants at Talking Stick Resort Arena. The vote was supposed to be today. It has been delayed because the votes are not there. The Suns and owner Robert Sarver scrambling. City officials are scrambling. There's a strong possibility, she reports, that the arena deal will be pulled from today's city council agenda. I had already heard that it was going to be delayed, but obviously the big headline there is one source telling her that Sarver is telling city officials he may take the team
well,
to Seattle or Las
Vegas.
Listen,
I mean, I don't fault him for trying to, you know, to have some. It might be idle threats. It might be real. I don't know. But I do think at some point you got to be like, listen, if I can't get anything, if I can't even get renovations for the arena, I got a plumbing I got to fix. I got electrical I got to fix. I got to widen these concourses. I mean, you know, I mean, he might not have no other option. I mean, he might. Yesterday we talked about the Coyotes going to Houston. Now we're talking about if the Suns go. I mean, what, we'll be a two-sport town before you know it. I will say this real quick. I got a buddy of mine that's really high-end on this political stuff and says, even if it passes, there is very likely to be a referendum drive to out it to a public vote. It will lose. City says it can't be referred. Strong opinion otherwise, so potential legal battle over that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a really good source I have. It's inside of all of this stuff. Says could end up being a potential legal battle over whether to put it to a public vote or not.
I think translated, what I'm hearing out of that is, remember what we told you a couple of days ago, that if it's renovations and just renovations, it does not have to go to a public vote.
Right.
It's just the city council. But perhaps if the city council does pass the renovation plans, perhaps that's where the legal battle could come in, because people might sue and say, no, you're not allowed to do that unless we have a chance to vote on that. Maybe that's where the fight comes in, if they try to pass this without it going to a vote, which they're allowed to do because it's just renovations to the arena and not a brand new build.
The city says it cannot be referred, a referendum, to a public vote. My guys tell me it would lose if they tried to do a referendum to send it to a public vote. It would lose, but there is strong opinion that they might have the ability to try to get it to a public vote.
So with that kind of looming over what we're doing and what we're talking about here, we are also here to talk about the 100 Club. And joining us right now is just a smiling face every single day. It's always so good to see him. It's always so good
to have
him out there.
Man, one of the biggest Auburn football fans we know.
Jason Schechterle, retired Phoenix police officer. Are you going to allow him to talk to you like that?
No, I'm absolutely not going to allow that. It is Alabama,
well,
and
Bart
knows it.
that is out. He's giving you grief for wearing
been doing that for 10 years.
I have. Oh, he's busted his job. Yeah, because your team is just so damn good. I mean, let's just give him the title now. I mean, there's nothing to worry about.
Well,
I mean, oh, why? Because you had one little struggle against Georgia. You beat everybody else's asses.
They have their hands full with the one team I didn't want them to play, but I'm enjoying this ride with Nick Saban. I hope he sticks around for another five
or six
years.
Where else would he go?
Oh, he's not going to go anywhere.
Well,
I just don't want him to retire and not coach anymore.
Yeah, I just
right?
don't want him to retire and lose.
Because the day he retires and stops coaching, it ends, right? It's done.
But then Dabo Swinney will go back home and they'll keep it going.
Oh, so Dabo will leave Clemson and go back to Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's tough shoes to fill. I don't know if I'd want to do that.
Hey, he won a national championship with them in 92.
I know, but I mean, you've got to replace Saban? I feel bad for the guy that's got to replace Saban.
Oh, hey, he's got Clemson rolling pretty good. So.
He does, but not as good as you've got Bama rolling right now with Saban.
Well, he's the best ever, so.
He is.
Let me remind everybody in our audience, Jason Schechterle, retired Phoenix police officer. You're on the job. Man, I always forget about this part of the story. You're on the job just 14 months. You were barely there a year and a half.
You're a rookie.
On March 26, 2001, You were hit by a taxi cab, stopped at an intersection, causing your police cruiser to go up in flames. Fourth-degree burns, face, arms, upper body. You went back to work on November 2002. You retired in 2006. Three kids. How old are your kids now?
Wow, my daughter she'll be 25 next week. I've got a 20-year-old son, and then the baby that was born after the accident just turned 16.
Wow.
Wow.
Life comes at you fast, doesn't it?
It goes by fast.
The baby was born how much longer after the accident?
18 months. He was born on October 29th of 02.
After the accident.
Yes.
Wow. That is phenomenal. You got a 25-year-old kid. We've been with you for so long now. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, so, she's married now and living in Texas and doing wow. That's why I'm wearing the TCU hat.
She went to school there,
and I lost her to Texas forever. She loves it there.
It's a great state.
Get her tickets to the Cheez It Bowl, right, when they play Cal, TCU and Cal in the
Cheez
It Bowl.
I get to go see them when they come
absolutely.
Here. Yeah.
You, for a number of years, you were, I don't want to say the identity of the 100 Club. That would be kind of disrespectful to all the people who worked there, but you were very out in front. You were very visual. People really got to know you and your story, and you became almost instantly recognizable because of your accident, because of your work with the 100 Club. You could probably go on for days about what the 100 Club means and what it does for the people that it benefits.
No doubt the 100 Club is absolutely my favorite organization anywhere. What they did for my family the night of my accident and how they helped me throughout the years of my recovery, and then to be able to get healthy again and give back. And as much as I love, you know, law enforcement, firefighter, public safety, it's not a 40-hour week job. It's not a way to collect a paycheck. It's who you are inside. It's who you are 24 hours a day, every day. And I just absolutely love all of our first responders in this organization. I've seen behind the scenes who takes care of it, and the people who work there right now are just amazing.
They are. We've so many great stories and so many tragedies. And, we just had a U.S. Marshal that was shot and killed 10 days ago, trying to serve a felony warrant, leaves behind four children.
Yes.
Four children left behind. And, I don't think people realize. I mean, what this is all about today is just being able to say thank you. Thank you to all the first responders out there. We know nobody's getting rich being a first responder. Nobody's getting rich being a police officer or a firefighter or a border patrol agent. And, when a U.S. Marshal loses his life doing his job, that wife is left behind with four children for the rest of her life. No income coming in from the husband, and just makes things very, very difficult. People don't think about it from that aspect, but you get to see it all the time working with the 100 Club.
You do get to see it all the time, and between injury and death, it's the families that, the men and women out there wearing the uniform, they're doing exactly what they want to be doing. They understand the risk, and things are going to happen. It's the families that are going to suffer the most. It's harder to watch somebody go through something than to go through it yourself, and especially children and spouses. And for the 100 Club to be able to help them out financially and with other support, to have events like we're having today, and just you always see smiling faces.
And you can't replace a father or a mother. So for these children, these four children, with the father, you're not getting your dad back. You're not getting your mom back when something happens. But what the 100 Club does is, it's not just, hey, listen, we're going to help you out with some financial issues, right? They're with you every step of the way.
Even
at some point, to help some of these kids get some scholarships to go to college. Years and years later, they can be there for the family.
Yes, and the people who work at the 100 Club, you have to understand, these are people who have walked in those shoes. These are people who have had that knock on the door. These are people who are the parents of children who have lost somebody, and so they understand exactly what the other person is going through, and that helps a lot.
In the moments after your accident, what did the 100 Club do for you in the immediate nature, and then what did they do for you in the months and years that followed? And it's probably a lot to list, but what did they do for you, Jason?
Well, immediately, within 2 hours, they were there handing my wife a check, and they told her very bluntly, if he dies, they will be back with more. And they knew I had two kids. They were there to offer whatever support they needed, from just bringing meals to making sure there were babysitters to making sure my wife could spend time at the hospital. And then once I got healthy and got out there, it was
support.
Bringing me to events. It was support and showing me that just because I wasn't able to go back to work right then, and because I was injured or looked a little bit different, I was still 100% City of Phoenix police officer.
Part of our community, yeah, part of your community, right, yeah.
You don't look different to me, my friend. You look the same. I only know you like this.
Listen, I
don't know you from before the accident. I only know you after the accident. You look fine to me.
I wouldn't trade a day of my life for anything. I absolutely love where I'm at, what I'm doing, and born and raised here in Phoenix. I love this community, and to be able to give back in certain ways is very powerful.
How close did you come to dying?
Well, I mean, according to the doctors, it was there was not a chance I was going to survive. And they did amazing. What the firefighters did on scene that night, and I still have lunch with them every year on the anniversary, to let them see what they've done and the life that, like my son who was born, that's an entire life that was created because of the work that firefighters, doctors.
So before you got to the hospital, what the firefighters did, if they weren't able to act so quickly, you don't make it.
I have no chance. But then when you get there and Doctors Dan Caruso, Dr. Kevin Foster, and their staff, what they did in those first hours and days and months, the fact that I was a tissue recipient, I mean, I can't say enough. Again, giving the gift of life, leaving something behind, things sometimes have no logical end. It wasn't about me having a surgery or two. I have a son who was born afterwards, and my life has continued. So there's just so many pieces that I was supported by, that's why, you know, you make the comment, I have a smile on my face. I have not anything to be upset or down about.
Jason, do you remember, I mean, anything about going to the hospital, being with the firefighters? Do you remember?
No.
You completely blacked out. You were done.
My last memory was the call I was on right before that. And my next memory, I woke up 2.5 months later after a coma, and it felt like, I mean, I woke up knowing I was just at work.
So you don't even remember the current call where you got hit?
No.
You don't remember that?
I've heard the tape. I've heard myself answer up for it, but I have no memory of it at all.
Wow.
That's probably a good thing.
It's a great thing.
It's a great thing you don't remember.
It also helped me.
Because you can't replay it in your mind because you don't remember.
Well, you don't. And even when I drive through the intersection now, I love to be there and look at it and try to think what the firefighter saw, what was going on. But to be inside of a burning vehicle, if you're taking in those gasps of breath, if you're in that fear and you're sucking in that smoke, that's going to be life-threatening too. Because I was completely unconscious and calm, that also helped me a lot not to get the internal injuries that a lot of burn survivors end up with.
Yeah, it's always an amazing story. It never ceases to. It's enthralling to listen to, and it really is. It's enthralling to hear how you survived it and how it made you better and stronger, and how you're happy and you have no regrets and you love your life. It's tremendously inspiring and enthralling to hear it every year we get a chance to talk to you. So
thank you so much. You guys are so good to us.
Did you
thank
see
you.
This sports package we're giving away?
What is it?
All right,
listen to this. This is amazing, and anybody can win it for just a $100 donation to the 100 Club.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
On-field experience. You're on the field for the Diamondbacks. You get tickets to the game. You're there for batting practice. Courtside seats to a Suns game. On-field experience and lower-level tickets for a Cardinals game. You're on the field before the game for the Cardinals game. Glass seats for a Coyote game. And you get to sit courtside with Jerry Colangelo for a GCU game. And we're giving away that fat scooter right there. It's a value of about $2,000.
That's pretty amazing. For $100. The phones ought to be going crazy right about now.
Right, they should, right? All you got to do is text. We do it differently now. We don't have the phone banks. Just text 100 Club to 620-620.
Yes, please get involved. You might win this, but more importantly, you're helping out the 100 Club, and I can promise you they are doing amazing things with those donations.
There you go.
Jason, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate
thanks
you
for
hanging out for a little
do
bit.
Yeah, every year. Yeah. Yes, thank you for everything you guys do. I appreciate
you're
it.
You're the best, buddy.
Right, buddy.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank
Jason
Schechterle here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. When we come back, we'll get back into our top story of the day. Did Robert Sarver threaten to move the Phoenix Suns? We'll get into that next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Live from the GCU Golf Course, Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this suddenly busy Wednesday afternoon. Our Holiday Heroes broadcasts, text 100 Club to 620-620. Make a donation of $25 to win one of our jerseys. In fact, Gambo, we've got yet another winner. The Oliver Ekman Larson jersey goes to John Kosilniak of Gilbert. He donated $25, at least $25, and was the winner of the Oliver Ekman Larson jersey. We're giving away a jersey every half hour. Next up, David Johnson. We're going to be giving away that jersey. And as you've said many times, you enter, make a $25 bid as soon as possible, because that gives you more opportunities to win these jerseys, right? Because the jerseys start to go. It's simple math. The number of jerseys available to be won shrinks over the course of the day. The sooner you make that donation, the better your opportunity to win a jersey. So text 100CLUB, 100CLUB. It's a 620-620, and you're entered. If you donate $25, you are entered to win one of the jerseys. If you donate $100, not only are you entered to win one of the jerseys, you're also entered to win the ultimate Arizona sports fan package. Courtside sun seats, glass seats for a Coyotes game, Diamondbacks batting practice and a game, a pair of tickets and pregame field passes to the Cardinals-Rams game, one pair of tickets to sit with Jerry Colangelo next to Jerry Colangelo at a GCU basketball game against New Mexico State, and the Arizona sports-themed fat scooter that is sitting here
right in front of us. I love the fat scooter.
That is all.
I love it.
All of that is one package. All of that can be won by one person as long as you donate $100 to the 100 Club of Arizona by texting 100 Club to 620-620. All right. Here's the the email we got from our news department, Gambo.
Let's go over this.
Is simply this. The office of the mayor and two other council members are asking for a delay in the vote. It is not official yet that the vote has been delayed. It sometime during today's scheduled council meeting, the mayor will make an official motion to continue the item, to put it off to a later date. But it sounds like there's going to be a push today to delay the vote on the renovation of Talking Stick Resort Arena.
Apparently, it's because they didn't have the votes.
Yep.
They put the vote off today because it was 5-2 against. They needed to be 4-3 against, but they didn't have the votes.
They needed to be 4-3-4.
4-3-4, yeah.
They need to be 4-3 in favor of it. Four votes kills it. So if it was 5-2 against,
yeah,
they're not close. Now, the kicker comes in the form of a column of a story today that was written by, full credit to Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic, who wrote about the delay, who wrote about the fact that the votes aren't there, who wrote about the fact there's a strong possibility the deal will be pulled from today's agenda, that Robert Sarver apparently was calling city council members last night, trying to get votes, scrambling a little bit. The kicker is this line right here. Meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas, one source told Lori Roberts.
Yeah, listen, I mean, again, I don't know if the NBA would allow him to go to Vegas. I mean, the Phoenix Suns have been here since
69.
I mean, I just don't know that the NBA would Adam was over. Okay, go ahead and move. I mean, there's a lot of other relocation chances for teams besides the Phoenix Suns, I would think. I got to work this thing out somehow, some way. I don't know if it's an idle threat. Like, hey, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to take this team to Seattle or Vegas, because, you know, eventually, I mean, they can't just – they have to do something. The arena is the worst in the NBA, the practice facility the worst in the NBA, and they need to do something to try and get it. Now, what I could tell you is, in speaking with some of the people that I know that are involved in this, one of my sources is telling me even if it passes, there's very likely to be a referendum drive to out it to a public vote. So even if they're able to figure out a way to get the votes to pass, there's going to be a referendum to try to get it to a public vote. That will lose. City says it can't be referred. Strong opinion otherwise, so potential legal battle over that if it gets that way.
Right. Translated roughly is that if you renovate the arena, it doesn't have to go to a public vote. If the city council were to pass the renovation plans, there could be a lawsuit that would basically force it to a public. Somebody would be looking to say, no, that's not fair. You can't just have the city council vote on it because it's a renovation and not a brand new build. We need the opportunity to be able to have a public vote on this, and that could be the source of a potential lawsuit. The one thing that is clear from the delays, people want an opportunity to learn more about this. This all happened very quickly, right? I mean, this wasn't on anybody's, at least this wasn't on our radar screen a week ago. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, hey, by the way, next Wednesday, there's going to be a vote as to whether there's going to be $250 million spent on a renovation of the Stick Resort Arena. It went very quickly.
But we know why. We know why. There's an incoming mayor, most likely, who's way ahead in the polls. That incoming mayor is really against taxpayer money going to any, you know, sports teams, especially, you know, for arenas and things like that. So they're thinking that that mayor may have a lot of clout in being able to say, okay, we're going to vote no on this. So they want to do this before that new incoming. They got an interim mayor right now, and they're trying to do this while they have the interim mayor in place instead of the incoming mayor, who very likely is going to be this woman who's got a big lead in the polls. So that's why they're trying to jam this through right
now. She's very anti-arena.
It's like everything that's happened in politics right now. I mean, you know, you're trying to get you know, everything done in December before the new House takes over in January. I mean, this is what happens. This is politics. This is what's going on.
Yeah. As far as the threat goes, boy, that really cuts right to the quick. If you're a longtime Suns fan, if you're a born and raised Sun fan. Like I know you've been rooting for the Suns ever since you moved to
Suns.
Town.
Yeah, I love the Suns.
The Phoenix Suns were my first love. I have no shame in saying that. I that was the first thing I can ever remember loving was the Phoenix Suns. So to hear any kind of a threat, rumored or otherwise, about moving, kind of pisses me off. To be honest with you, it doesn't sit well with me because the Phoenix Suns are...
Can't lose them.
You can't.
Can't lose the Suns.
And anybody... I understand leverage, and I understand playing the game, and I understand Milwaukee threatened to move to Vegas and Seattle before they got a new arena for the Bucks. I understand the Kings did the same thing before they got... I understand that's how business gets done. I don't like it. The minute I read it, I thought, for a 4-23 team, I don't know how threats by the owners to move to another market is going to play with
fan base. What are you supposed to do? I mean, you've got to put some pressure on them. Look, if the Suns leave, I mean, there is an economic value there that the city can't afford to lose.
I understand that, but the damage you're doing to your fan base, I mean, you've already done a significant amount of damage to your fan base.
Can anything more be done to the Suns fan base?
Sure.
They're 4-23.
Threatening to move them to another city? Yes, that's worse than 4-23. Yes, that's worse. You're going to pick up and leave? You're going to go? After all the loyalty, after all the love, after... you don't think that's worse than 4-23?
I mean, yeah, of course it is. But, I mean, they're beaten down so badly, the Suns fan base. They're beaten down so much.
Yeah, and this is injury to insult.
Taking their team away would be, I mean, that's the ultimate. You can't do any worse.
There's a question here of the NBA Board of Governors and whether they would even approve such a move. I mean, Jerry Colangelo is a lifer in the NBA, and I know he's not the owner of the Suns anymore, but they're still his baby. I can't see the NBA Board of Governors being in a big hurry to approve a move of the Phoenix Suns to another market if it ever got to that. I mean, maybe this is the thing that forces Robert Sarver's hands to get perhaps a little more serious about how he runs the Phoenix Suns, right? I don't know if the Board of Governors would say, yeah, sure, whatever you want to do, move them to Vegas, that's cool. That's fine with us. That's okay. I don't think it'd be that easy.
No, I don't think it would be that easy either. But in the end, I mean, they cannot – okay, it's like the Coyotes. They can't stay in Glendale. I mean, it's an absolute disaster. They're losing $25 to $35 million a year. It's just – it's not sustainable. The Suns can't stay in that building either. That building's 26 years old right now. I mean, before they even got it, if they built a new arena somewhere, you're still talking 3 more years. So you'll be approaching 30 years on that new building. It's the worst building in the NBA. It's the worst practice facility in the NBA. Free agents don't want to come here because it's so bad. I mean, it's just – you know, it's an old building, so I don't know how much longer they can play in that building either.
Yeah, that is one of our top stories of the day. When we come back here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, we'll get into the others. In particular, Trevor Ariza didn't play last night, and Gambo's got the latest on Jackie Bradley Jr. and what interest the Diamondbacks might have in the Red Sox center fielder. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up next. Our Holiday Heroes broadcast benefiting the 100 Club here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.